If you would take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 2, I want to share a little bit this morning on God's grace. Today is Sunday, September the 5th, 2021. And we're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 2, a familiar section, I think. And I wanted to share a little bit this morning on God's grace. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins," and that being dead means we had no spirit life, "dead in sins, quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For," again it says, "by grace are you saved through faith," believing, "and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." The salvation we have is a gift. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I think you know that the word grace means favor. And when we're talking about God's grace, then that's divine favor. It's God's divine favor. And it means something that's not deserved, not earned. It's a gift. And biblically, gift means something that's given with no strings attached. That's a real gift. I know holiday time, gifts is weird, you know. Oh, they gave me a gift, I need to give them a gift. Oh, gift biblically is here. You don't deserve it, you don't earn it, it's just yours. And that's God's grace. So all that we have in the new birth is by God's grace. It's a gift to us. And you know, sometime you could sit down with a piece of paper and write down everything you can remember that you have as a result of the new birth. Let's see, what do I have? Forgiveness of all my sins. Oh, that's cool. Oh, I'm righteous in God's eyes. Oh, I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm lovely, without blame. I have a hope, a real hope. If you ever, you know, decide, I think I'm going to, for my reading, I'm going to read through the seven church epistles. Then make note when you see things about what you have or who you are as a result of the new birth. All of that is that salvation freely given. And it's all by God's grace. We didn't earn any of it. It's like it says in Romans 3, it says being justified or made righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So all we have in the new birth is by grace. God just said here. Believing in Jesus Christ gave us the access to this salvation that's been freely given to us. It was by believing in Jesus Christ that gave us the access to this salvation that's freely given to us by God's grace. In other words, we accepted the invitation, Romans 10:9. You know, that's conditional. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And here it says we're saved by grace. So I heard somebody say once that Christianity isn't an ultimatum, it's an invitation. You're invited. And so we received salvation by God's grace. So all that we have that's in the new birth, all that we read about in the church epistles, all that was just freely given to us. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. And there's more grace. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, as if that's not enough. As if that's not enough, 2 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Really? Wow. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. There's more grace. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The more we read, understand, and believe God's words, it opens the door for God to pour more grace upon us. And again, we don't work for it. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. You know, back in 1 Peter in chapter 5, I can see it on my page. It says, humble yourselves, 5:6 of 1 Peter. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 5 says at the end that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 2 here says, grace and peace multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. So as we continue to look at God's word, it opens the door for us to receive more of God's favor that we don't deserve or couldn't earn. Every church epistle, every one of them opens with grace and peace to you from God. Every single one of them. Isn't that interesting? If you back up a little bit to Hebrews chapter 4, another familiar verse. In Hebrews chapter 4, last verse of that chapter 4, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. It's a throne of grace. That we, why do we go to the throne of grace? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, we're born again. We have eternal life, the hope of Christ's return, but we're not immune. It'd be nice if we were. It'd be nice if we could go around in an immune suit. No troubles, no problems, because I'm a child of God. There are times when we have need, and I love this because it says that we should go boldly under the throne of grace, and that word boldly means freedom of speech, frankness of speech, speak openly, let it all out. And at times we could be frustrated, right? And that's okay. That's okay. That I don't believe being frustrated with a situation is irreverent toward God. Might be a little irreverent to say, God, why did you do this, when God doesn't do those things. But you read some of the Psalms, sometimes they were disgusted, they were discouraged, they were down. You know, oh my soul, why are you so? So we go to the throne room of grace with boldness, but with reverence. We know where our help's coming from. And the first thing it says there, that we may obtain mercy. Mercy is when you do deserve punishment, consequences, but it's withheld. You ever see that? I plead for the mercy of the court. You know. Your Honor, have mercy on me, or whatever. But mercy means, you know, that which we deserve for consequences for things we've done, but it's withheld. So it's kind of like forgiveness. We go to the throne room of grace that we may obtain mercy, and then it says, and that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In those times when everything's not hunky-dory, when everything's not sunshine and roses, I have no problems today, everything's fine. Well, in those days when it's not, those are days that we need help in time of need, and we look for grace, divine favor, that which we don't deserve, couldn't earn, but we're looking for God's wonderful grace. It's a beautiful verse. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think the Apostle Paul probably understood God's grace maybe more than anyone. Because as you know from reading the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, before he got born again, was horrible. He was a religious terrorist. That's the only way to describe it. He was leading the persecution to not just hassle God's people, but to arrest them, imprison them, execute them. You know, not a nice guy you want to hang out with. But as you know, he got born again, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles. I am not meet to be even called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am who I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." That's true for all of us. By the grace of God, we are who we are. By the grace of God, we are a child of God. By the grace of God, we are saved. It's all by God's grace. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we won't read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It talks about the stuff that Paul went through. The beatings, the shipwrecks, the this, the that. It's just you read that and you go, you know, five times, you know, 40 lashes save one. I remember, maybe some of you do too, sitting in a Bible class where the teacher said, "What do you think his back looked like?" "I bet it couldn't have won a beauty contest." And then the teacher said, "What have you paid for an accurate knowledge of God's word?" "Very little." You know, you're like, "Oh my gosh." Some of you may remember that, right? But he went through a lot and just continued. So in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, he's talking about how blessed he is with revelation that God's giving him. And you get to verse 9, and it says, verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." And you see where it's from. "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." The adversary likes to steal our joy away from us. Hmm. Yeah. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And here's the answer he got to his prayer: "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong." Strong because of God's grace coming to him. So we know where it came from. It came from the adversary, from Satan. I was talking last week about there's evil in this world. No getting around it, right? All of it originates from the adversary. Paul was attacked to rob him of how blessed he could be. So here, let's throw this crap in the mix. But Paul prayed. He cast his cares upon, you know, the Lord. And look what God told him again, verse 8. "For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The English Standard has verse 9, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." In the Working Translation, "And he said to me, my grace is adequate for you, for my power is perfectly accomplished in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast even more in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may reside in me. His boasting wasn't, wow, I got beat up again. His boasting was boasting of God and God's grace to help him in those situations. You know where it says, my grace is sufficient? The word sufficient there means unfailing strength. So God's answer was, my grace is unfailing strength for you. My grace is enough for you. And that's true for all of us, whatever we're going through. If we receive God's grace, it's enough for us in that situation. And as we're going to read in Philippians, Paul had to learn to rely on and trust God's grace. Go to Philippians 4. Sometimes we think these wonderful believers in the Bible just were born that way. You know, they just believe God no matter what. They never had a doubtful thought in their lives. They just came from the womb that way. Well, here in chapter 4 of Philippians, Paul talks about how he had to learn. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, but I rejoice, and he's writing to the Philippians, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. He was blessed that they were giving to him, but he said, not because of want. And then he says in verse 11, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I have learned. It was a process for him to learn in whatsoever state I am, in the good times and the not so good times, in the abundant times and in the lean times. I've learned to be content. And the word content doesn't mean you just be satisfied with what you have and shut up. If all you have for supper is one bean, you just eat your bean and be quiet and be content about it and be thankful. It doesn't mean that at all. Content, this word content here is actually related to that word that we saw in Corinthians about my sufficiency. My grace is sufficient for you. It's related to that. It means having enough, being independent of external circumstances. In the leanest of times, by God's grace, Paul had enough. He learned how to trust God's grace so that he would have enough in that situation. I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to have enough. And if it's by God's grace, he didn't earn the enough that he needed. He didn't deserve the enough that he needed. He learned how to tap into God's grace in that situation. So let's continue reading here. I've learned. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have done well. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift. You know, he was blessed that they were giving, but it wasn't because, you know, what did he say in verse 11? Not that I speak in respect of want. But he was blessed that they were operating the principle of giving and receiving so they would get blessed. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. He was blessed that they were giving and operating that principle, but whether they did or didn't, his sufficiency was from God. God's grace was enough for him. Verse 18 makes that pretty obvious, right? But I have all. and abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. After he told them, look, I know how to be abased and how to abound in the good times and the bad times. I'm taken care of. With God's grace, it's enough. I have learned how to do this. And I'm glad that you gave. I'm glad that you did that. But I'll tell you what, it's not because I want a gift. I'm blessed because you'll get a gift. And I'll tell you something else. My God will supply all your need too. Isn't that beautiful? Gosh, it's great. He's teaching them. So, my grace is unfailing strength for you. My grace is enough for you. Paul knew how to be blessed in the good times and in the lean times. Because God's grace, by God's grace, he had enough. Enough for what? Well, in my leanest times, I had a roof over my head always. I had food to eat. You know, I had enough in my leanest times. In the abundant times, well then, still had a roof, still had food to eat, and extra that I could, you know, do this, do that, bless someone with something else. Paul learned to trust God in both situations. And we too can learn to trust God for his grace. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. In the abundant times and the lean times, in the easy times and the hard times, what is it we need? Grace. Divine favor. You know, it's not that, you know, if I pray on my knees long enough, that's going to impress God and he's going to go, wow, this guy prayed for. That would be earning something, wouldn't it? That'd be my works. Grace. We certainly pray, but it's not my long prayers. I just do what God says, pray. I told somebody the other day, I'm really glad that Jesus said, men ought to always pray and not faint. Good, I'm glad he said that. Sometimes you feel like fainting, right? You're just at it, you're at it, you're at it. But we're going to go two more places. Go to 2 Corinthians, if you would. You know, so Paul told them that he had learned it and they could learn it too. Because my God shall supply all your need. I love that in that section. You know, we're going to 2 Corinthians 9. I love that in that section where he's telling me, look, I've learned how to deal with these things. You know, I'm blessed that you gave. That's nice. You're doing giving and receiving. But God's taking care of me, and you know what? God will take care of you too. My God will supply all your need. So that's beautiful. So we trust God and we allow God to take care of us. We don't trust a job, right? We trust the one that gave us a job. You know, jobs come and go. You know, we just continue to trust him. We don't trust people. Sometimes people can disappoint. We trust in God. We just certainly don't trust governments. We trust our God to provide. And just like, you know, God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough. If God's grace was enough for Paul, I think it'd be enough for us, right? And again, it starts with humility and reverence. You know, God resists the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. He even tells us, you know, be humble, be reverent. Be respectful of God. God gives grace to the humble. And this wonderful verse, I'm sure you're familiar with it, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Well, that's a pretty good verse, isn't it? That sounds like what we read in Peter, exceeding great and precious promises. This is what God's able to do for his people. So he's already given us the new, you know, the new birth, everything that's in the new birth. It's just like, it's mind-blowing when you look at how many things that we have and are because of being born again. That God just said, oh, you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. Okay, here you are. Really? You know, sometimes it takes us half a lifetime to unpack it, unwrap it, you know. You know, then we're sitting there one day going, wow, I'm righteous. It's not the first time we heard it, but it's like, holy cow. After all of that, then in addition to that, God for his people, for his children, he is able to make all grace abound toward you. And that grace is that which gives us enough for what we're going through, for what we need. God is able to make all grace abound toward you so that you always having all sufficiency. The word sufficiency is the same word that we saw in Philippians. Content. I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. It's the same word. Again, it's having enough, independent of external circumstances. In the leanest of times, regardless of what those are, leanest of times can be emotional. You know, there's times when we're just doing great. Other times, for whatever reason, you know, we're upset, heartbroken, distressed. That's a lean time emotionally, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we think lean times means I don't have any food. You know, and that's scary for Italians, but somebody asked me, well, no, I've been asked several times, you know, are you eating? Say, yeah, I'm Italian. It goes back to what my grandma used to say. My grandma used to say, what's the matter? You're not feeling so good? Here, have a sandwich, you'll feel better. But so leanest of times doesn't necessarily mean, you know, financially or you don't have enough food. It could be a lot of different things. But this word sufficiency means having enough. By God's grace, we have enough. God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you always have enough in every situation so you can abound to every good work. The English standard for this verse is, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. And the Working Translation has it, and God is able to make all favor abound unto you, so that you, always having all adequacy in everything, may abound to every good work. So in trusting God, we can trust in His grace. We can expect His grace, because He wants to give us His grace, His kindness. And in fact, here He promised that He's able to do it. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through a knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So, when we got born again, God gave us so much by grace. We're His children. We have Holy Spirit. We have eternal life. We have forgiveness. All those things that we read about in the church epistles. That's not the end of His grace. Now, as we wait for the return of Jesus Christ, we can go to the throne room of grace to find help in time of need. And it's not a disgrace to have need. I should be a believer. I shouldn't have need. We live in this crazy world. There's an adversary. Mm-hmm. Read about Paul, others. So when we have a time of need, we go to the throne room of grace. And sometimes we bring a sleeping bag. Mm-hmm. And we camp out. I ain't leaving. I need help in time of need. And we look for His grace to help in time of need. And there's a day coming. Go back to where we started, Ephesians chapter 2. This is where we'll close. I didn't point this out when we first started, but all the grace that God has given to us in the new birth, all the grace that He has provided so that we could have enough now as we wait, then it says in verse 4, God who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He's quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 7. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh boy, there's going to be a boatload of grace when Christ comes back. We receive rewards and we meet Jesus Christ face to face. Do we deserve to meet Jesus Christ face to face? I don't think so. We don't deserve any of that. But it's coming. God's great grace is coming to us. So it's wonderful. He is the God of all grace. So, Father, thank you for your wonderful, good kindness and love and grace to us. Thank you for the salvation that you have given to each one of us. It is a complete salvation. We're lacking nothing in that department. Father God, thank you for being there in our times of need, whatever the need may be, that we can look to you and know that your grace will be enough. And Father, how we look forward to the time when our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming back and we can see the exceeding greatness of that grace upon us. We praise you. We thank you for being so kind, so good, so loving. And Father, I just ask you to bless each person here today, for those on the phone line, for those that will hear the recording later. And I thank you, Father, for your love and grace and mercy to each one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.